You're listening to DraftKings Network.
All right, everybody, Mother's Day is officially around the corner. If mom's gift isn't already on the way, you've got hours, maybe even minutes, to get it together. So head over to 1-800-Flowers.com right this second. 1-800-Flowers still has great last-minute deals on handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts ordered easily and delivered fresh. You want to get mom something that shows your appreciation for all that she's done? We know you've been a knucklehead. She knows you've been a knucklehead. Please do better. Help your mom feel appreciated this Mother's Day. This is your last chance to lock in these Mother's Day deals. Only good while supplies last. Order today at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan, D-A-N. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Whittingham, get me the stat of the day music, please. I'm so tempted to do the long version. So tempted. Give him the short version.
Stat of the day, stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day, stat of the day. It is the stat of the day.
Stat of the day is brought to you by ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
In his first 403 major league games, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. has 87 home runs and an on-base percentage of .363. In his first 403 major league games, his father, Vladimir Guerrero Sr., has 87 home runs and an on-base percentage of .363. Exactly the same. I don't know if that's amazing or it's just a super weird coincidence with a couple of random stats.
Perhaps he's a clone of his father.
He is not physically a clone of his father. They look very different. His father was one of the best bad ball hitters I have ever seen. Does Billy have any strong opinions on Vladimir Guerrero Jr.?
What if he was a clone of his father, but his father invented time travel, came back and changed his appearance, but not the appearance of his son?
Wow.
Is there anyone else you associate with bad ball hitting ahead of Vladimir Guerrero? Like, is there anyone else? Like, maybe this is a question for Chris Cody to ask Tim Kirchen.
Cody might have. Please, Chris, get Tim Kirchen's top five bad ball hitters of all time. But Greg Cody might have a nominee here.
A bad ball hitter?
Yeah, like pitches outside of the strike zone.
My dad seems a little rattled right now. It's because he was just saying out here, I wish my backswing was longer. He was like talking out loud about his backswing, right. So he wasn't listening.
Well, I'm watching golf. No, I mean, honestly, the first name that came to mind, I have seen Miguel Cabrera hit a lot of balls outside the zone.
Are you just thinking of the one time he hit an intentional walk for a single?
No, I forgot about that, but that's a good example. I've seen him hit a lot of balls outside the zone.
Vladimir Guerrero Sr. was somebody who I believe doubled on a bounced ball. I believe I have that. I think I have that right. But
it was a home run. If it was Yogi Berra, he hit a bounced ball off a home run.
No.
Yeah.
There was a home run hit on a bounced ball. I've never heard of such a thing.
Yeah, that's like cricket. No.
Is there a video of this?
Yeah.
I've never heard of such a thing. Do you believe that is a thing? Roy, you
that,
keep
that
saying,
is a thing.
Who
yes.
is this?
Yogi Berra. Yes.
Roy, but you just saying earnestly again in my face that it's a thing does not make it a thing. I've never heard it. I'm not saying that you're wrong. You may indeed be right, but you cannot confirm it with "I say it's a thing, therefore it's a thing." That's
look
not confirmation enough.
Look it up.
There it is. Yes, I'll look it up. Thank you. Greg, I appreciate all your sponsorship out there. I actually thought to myself this morning, you've seen something perhaps go viral. Somebody lost their pet, and they went back into a place called Chewy, and they went with their dog food from their dead dog and asked if they could get a refund. And not only did they get a refund, and this person put this on social media, they got a refund. The food was donated to a food shelter for animals. And then the next day they got flowers with a note from an attendant. And I thought to myself, man, Chewy could not pay for that kind of advertising. There is not enough money that they could pay to get that as a viral story. Mayomi gets the Codys.
Greg's doing a great job, by the way, I'll have you know, because Dan teed Greg up to promote the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody podcast last hour, and he didn't take the bait. Now, did he just miss a very obvious layup? Who knows? Or
no,
is Greg the best pitchman in the history of Miami?
No, I tried. First of all, he said it's the official the official wine of golf, which I don't know that you can say. I think that
it's official wine of dads everywhere.
Yeah, but that's not what your dad over there said.
That's
your
what
dad,
I meant.
You made it the official wine of golf, which I believe is false advertising.
Yeah, that kind of thing. I think you can call it the official wine of golf. I did not call it the official wine of the PGA Tour. Now, that would have been wrong. But it's the official wine of golf, in my mind, certainly of dads everywhere.
Just to quickly clean some of this stuff up, according to Copy, right. Miami wines are the unofficial favorite wine of dads everywhere.
But they're the official wine of this dad.
That's what we meant.
Okay, let's get that straight. And that is a fact.
Long story short, Miami's great.
And that's official.
In my opinion.
Chewy wishes they had that.
Billy, the immaculate inning. The immaculate inning. Your favorite team, the Astros, yesterday had in one game, because everyone coming out of a bullpen farts 170 miles an hour. They had two immaculate, put it on the poll, please, Guillermo. Is a 170 mile an hour fart impressive?
No, I'm just picturing Chris bent over with a radar gun behind his ass.
Not going to say it.
But
hell yeah.
Two immaculate innings for the Astros yesterday. It's never happened in the recorded history of our most historic sport.
Same three hitters, too. You think they have something on those hitters?
I didn't even know that was so. It was the same three hitters.
Yeah.
So it's never, you rarely get the immaculate inning of nine pitches, nine strikes. Everyone is a strike or a swing and a miss, looking or swinging.
According to the internet, a fart approximately travels at about 6.8 miles per hour. Hmm. So 170 miles per hour would be quite something.
Like I said, impressive.
So he went right past the Yogi Berra research.
Well, the Yogi Berra research has thus far shown nothing. There is no evidence that Yogi Berra ever hit a home run on a bounce ball.
I saw it on the Ken Burns documentary.
Oh, well, no one's going to go through that.
Now, see, Roy, why didn't you? When I said to you...
I mean, because that's the perfect way to say, because it's 900 hours of just old, boring baseball stuff, so no one's going to verify it.
He is so right. It is so much better than just to look it up. I'm going to bury you in paperwork like I'm a law firm trying to clog up the system. I'm going to make it so hard for you to find out what the facts are. I'm just going to start with two syllables. Ken Burns... You know what? All right, fine. You say Ken Burns says it, so fine. I'm not going through a bunch of black and white footage from the 40s.
The approximate running time of baseball from Ken Burns is about 18 and a half hours.
What?
And it was all enjoyable.
Which hour?
That seems like a quarter of the amount of time that it would take.
That's first inning. Yeah.
Double the Lord of the Rings extended editions.
I wonder if the Ken Burns documentary is going to be lost on young people who now want their things in four installments. I wonder
50,000 TikToks you would have to make to cover 18 hours.
But also, I mean, on the flip side, every Netflix six-part documentary series is just a podcast that they made long. So it's not like there's a massive vault of content that's engaging for that length of time.
There's a multi-part Netflix doc series, I think it's on Netflix, on a wave in Portugal.
Oh, it's on HBO Max. I watched the entire thing.
Oh, I fell asleep to that three separate times.
Okay,
unbelievably boring.
Well, let's talk about 100-foot wave. I watched it for the first time. They did come on the show like a year ago. Garrett McNamara and his wife.
They were great.
They were fascinating. He's like a super weird guy. But Izzy, so I started watching 100-foot wave after they came on the Levitard show like last May, and I was like, this is boring. I can't do this. But then I actually went to that town when I was on vacation in Portugal recently. Portugal's awesome, by the way. And it was like really cool. And I was like, okay, maybe I'll give it another try. So then I rewatched it. And like that show was, I think, 7 or 8 episodes. It could have been like 2.
Yeah.
Because it just kind of meanders around. But every time they showed the big wave, I was like, oh my God, a big wave. And it kept me watching for 8 hours.
No, I'm sorry. Waves are overrated. They really are. That's why surfing will never catch on as a spectator sport. Once you've seen a giant wave, it's like a cloud or a tree. You know, once you've seen one, exactly. It's in your memory bank. You've enjoyed it. You really don't need to see another one.
That's true.
Are you alleging that surfing hasn't caught on as a spectator sport?
I'm kind of
It's like running.
That's right.
If you're a runner,
you watch a marathon.
You love it, but you don't line up to watch somebody else run. People do.
Go to marathons and watch. They get huge crowds. Same with surfing events. And this surfing event in Portugal had, I believe, thousands of people watching. I don't know. They said how many it was.
Surfing is very popular, and it is a lucrative business for the best of the
surfers. If you're watching surfing, you're in it to see someone like crash and fall.
Which they do, because these waves are so big. Like, all the footage in this documentary, like, every now and then someone would actually surf the wave, and you'd be like, oh, cool. But then someone would crash, and you'd see them fall, like, 50 feet out of the sky, like, over the falls, and then they'd go to the hospital. And then they'd be like, yeah, karate broke his back. And then, like, a year later, he's out there surfing again. It's crazy.
Jeremy, would you do me the favor, please? Just rummage through that South Beach session and just get the sound of what it feels like, the description of being underneath a 100-foot wave.
Oh, no.
What happened,
fine.
Greg?
He didn't drop a wine bottle. He dropped his coffee.
Okay. You all right, Greg?
Greg, what happened?
Something just fell out of my...
Greg, your 40-year-old boat shoes are near the meat. Seriously. Can you please move your feet away from the meats and the cheeses and your black toe? Can you move your black toe away from the meats and cheeses and not drop things over there? And again, the Cody's brought to you by Mayomi.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I'm sorry about these shoes. I did notice just the other day that there's now officially a hole where my left pinky toe is now visible through the shoe.
At least get some air in there now, maybe.
Yeah, but they're super comfortable.
Just buy new shoes, Greg.
They're not 40 years old, by the way. They're like 25 years old.
What? I hate this so much.
Just buy new shoes, Greg. So why? Much.
Well, why be wasteful?
These shoes are unrivaled. Kind of like Mayomi wines.
And bold.
That's just a smell.
Don't associate the sponsor with those shoes.
Don't do that.
They're the black toes shoes. Near the meat. Do not do that to the sponsor with your black toes Great near toe. The meat. Those shoes are disgusting.
The black toes, that's the group Levitard saw the other night in concert.
Is that true?
It's the black toes.
Billy, is that true?
Chunkiner!
And my dad has become such a big Rory fan now. Oh, now that Rory's the hero of the PGA Tour, my dad's asking me for Rory updates.
Damn
my
right.
dad is more into golf now because of all this LIV stuff.
Oh, I am. I love a rivalry. I love a villain. And golf now is more exciting than it's ever been to see this breakaway tour. I'm really energized by
and
it.
And Billy, by the way, Homa has blown his minus two. He's back to even.
Well, we're 17 minutes in, so
Craig,
business as usual.
More exciting than it's ever been.
Well, in terms of the rivalry, I mean, it was
press
more,
conferences are more interesting.
It
now,
was more exciting when Tiger was reigning, but I'm loving golf right now. I'm loving the dynamic that this LIV Golf Tour has brought to the whole sport.
So you're loving it while ripping it.
More yes, than ever. Correct.
Just like more I say, than it's more a villain. Since, tour. The most since Tiger.
A four.
It's a villain.
Not more
tour.
Interesting than ever.
Ooh, Naismith tied for the lead.
Nobody knows who that is.
I don't either.
You invented basketball.
When I first saw just the last name, I thought it was Michael Naismith, the former monkey back in the grave.
Did you?
Chunkiner!
Greg, how do you think you're doing today?
Well, yeah, I'm rattled by this visor. I still don't know where on my forehead to wear it. But other than that, I think I'm crushing it.
Now
I really
he's
do.
Muttering under his breath, where's Jim Nance? It's like, Dad, this is on NBC. He just thinks, like, he doesn't watch golf a lot. So he's just like, I think Jim Nance should be part of every tournament.
I feel like broadcasters should be free agents. I really do. I think if you're a golf tournament, no matter the network, and you want Jim Nance as your voice, pull him out of the butler cabin, bring him over to your tournament, and enjoy it. I mean, why can't Jim Nance be a free agent? Able to cover anything he wants.
Why can't other people come and take golf?
Why can't you write for the Sun Sentinel?
I could.
He couldn't.
He might be able to. We don't know what's in his contract, if he has one. He is a union member, though. I imagine that's something that's bargained.
I'm so angry at my dad right now.
Why is that?
I don't know. He thinks he's crushing it, and we're going to have a long talk after today.
Okay. Christopher's livid that I was 15 minutes late. Oh, boy.
It's actually 45 minutes late, but who's counting?
Can we do this? Can we? I asked for the therapy couch to make a return recently, and it has not. Can you guys have, like, parental therapy right now where you have this conversation, just you and him, honestly, pretending that we're not here, that we're not listening, just a father and son who, Izzy says, a comedy duo unlike any performing these days. Just have an honest conversation with your father about his delusion about being great at this when he isn't.
What are your resentments towards Dan that you always want to be late? And you make it seem like it's unintentional, but I feel like you're doing something here. Like, when you're late like this and acting like, oh, there's nothing I can do about it.
Right.
The traffic, I couldn't have seen traffic coming. Like, you're doing something. Like,
leading the witness.
You're sending a message.
No, there's no message to be sent. There have been times when I was late purely because I left the house too late and traffic was not to blame. There have been those times. Today was not one of those times. The express lanes were a nightmare like never before, and it cost me 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And that's just one of the facts of life. You drive a car. You know what I mean. You're a motorist. You know, have tolerance. Don't be so angry. Joy de vivre, or whatever that's called. What is that expression?
Joie de vivre?
The French expression that means...
Can he not hear us?
Joy for life, or whatever it is. I don't know.
Jess just answered your question, Greg. Can you not hear her?
Like 4 minutes ago.
It's a little low. Mm. We can kind of hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you.
The Cody is brought to you by...
Meiomi. Meiomi Wines, the unofficial favorite wine of dads everywhere.
Will you do something? You did power through the brie. Will you do something special with your father this weekend other than be terribly annoyed with him because he embarrasses you all the time?
Funny you bring it up, because as a new father, my daughter's 4 years old. Father's Day's not mine yet. Father's Day still belongs to my father-in-law and my father. It's like maybe I'm a jerk for expressing this, but I always thought when I become a father, I could do whatever I want on Father's Day. That's not how it works. Mm. I have to be at my in-laws at noon. I have to be at my parents at 6 p.m. So basically, it's just a day where I have to do a bunch of shit.
When does it become yours? I think that once you become a father, it should become yours.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, my wife tries to give me the Saturday because she's like, you know, we got to do all this stuff Sunday. So Saturday, you could do blah, blah, blah. It's like, but I thought it's my day. It's supposed to be my weekend.
No, you
got to
run the parents up on out of here. You got to run them out of here. You got to run them. They're selfish.
You've had enough Father's Days. What, no, can't this one be mine?
Junior, you got to pay your dues, okay? After 4 years, you're still a rookie. You're a rookie father.
Greg, you've been having Father's Days for 30 years.
You've had over 30.
He's selfish. He wants more. He wants them to the grave.
I have. I'm a veteran father.
But now he's double Father's Day duty because he's a grandfather, too. So now he gets
exactly.
Double.
Thank you for that. Yes. When you're a father and a grandfather, it's like you're wearing a gold helmet. You know, what? You're a super
exact
father.
Exact Notre Dame.
Why are you wearing a gold helmet?
I'm a super father.
Uh-huh.
Isn't there a Grandparents Day also?
Jessica.
Yeah, he gets that one
thank
too.
Thank you, Izzy.
Jessica, you have been a bit itchy and fidgety here recently since you told me this story about the tick. The tick has made you...
Ticks.
Yeah, the ticks are unpleasant. And did you get a big one? Did you get one?
I didn't
on
get
your...
one at all, actually, Dan. I think actually my friend was in town, Priya. She's probably listening right now. She brought a tick into my apartment when she came and visited me last weekend. And I know you guys don't have ticks in Miami, so you maybe don't even know
that's
what they
not
are.
True.
Chris Whittingham had never heard of a tick before, like yesterday.
Okay, it's not heard of a tick, because I'm unfamiliar with seeing ticks. I'm more familiar with seeing mosquitoes in South Florida. That's like our insect of choice. But I don't encounter ticks too often. Have you guys?
Are there ticks down here?
Yeah, no, there are. Horrible game of is mole, freckle, or tick is the worst game to play.
I've been playing
ever.
That game for a week and a half, Billy, because like I don't go out in tall grass. I live the city life. But last weekend, my friend came in town. Woke up one morning, the day after she got in town, there was a tick in her leg. and I had to pull it out with tweezers. It was disgusting.
It was bloated from blood.
Alive.
It was
a little engorged.
Yes, from blood.
And I had to put it in like a little Ziploc baggie, and then she had to go on antibiotics and all this whole thing. And ever since, I'm like, are there other ticks in my apartment now? Are they in my bed? Should I wash all my
Did
clothes?
Did your friend come over covered in ticks?
Exactly. Was there one tick? Was there two tick? Was there three tick? Was there blue tick? I don't know. There were, I have not slept soundly in a week because she brought this tick into my home.
Will she be mortified by the idea that for some reason you felt the need to say her name and she's probably listening? She's fine. She's okay as being a public tick infected person.
I mean, I didn't ask for permission, so it's probably a HIPAA thing, but you know, everything's a HIPAA thing, right?
Well, we're already here on live television. Oh, Greg Cody, for some reason, is just wandering around now as if we're not on air.
I was just lost.
I was going to contribute to the conversation that...
You're not on a microphone.
You have a microphone where you were, though.
Where you were.
Go back to where you were. And I'll
go back to where
on.
You were. We're doing a show live right now. Why do
no,
you...
No, I was just going to contribute to the conversation that Jess's problem would be something good to put on TikTok. Thank you, everyone. Good night.
That's a good point.
All right, everybody. Mother's Day is officially around the corner. If mom's gift isn't already on the way, you've got hours, maybe even minutes, to get it together. So head over to 1-800-Flowers.com right this second. 1-800-Flowers still has great last-minute deals on handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts ordered easily and delivered fresh. You want to get mom something that shows your appreciation for all that she's done? We know you've been a knucklehead. She knows you've been a knucklehead. Please do better. Help your mom feel appreciated this Mother's Day. This is your last chance to lock in these Mother's Day deals. Only good while supplies last. Order today at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan, D-A-N. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Hey, listeners, it's Mike Ryan, and I've changed a lot over the course of 20 years that you've known me. I've gone from unlikable to, well, my hair has changed. But my point is, while a lot's changed over our relationship, there's one thing that hasn't changed one bit. And that's a great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So what's the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite has sparked this debate way back in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. They keep it simple. It's got undebatable quality, great taste, 96 calories, you know all those things. It's a beer that strips everything away that you don't need and holds on to what matters most. But with Miller Lite, you don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. It's both those things. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Levitard.
I feel like we need to normalize saying the scientific terms for organs on the air.
Penis?
If someone, yes. You know what? If someone takes a foul ball to the penis, we should just say he took a foul ball to the penis.
Mm-hmm. Stugatz.
That free kick hit him right in the cock-a-doodle-doo.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
Represented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code Dan for a special offer when you sign up. That's code Dan, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Whittingham, let's do a bit of housekeeping here because the broadcast streaming wars are changing all the time and people are doing different alternative forms of entertainment in interesting and new spaces. And I know Izzy... Debatable After Dark is something that you are doing tonight with Pablo Torre and Dominique Foxworth. Is it after the game, after game six of the NBA Finals?
Yeah, it's after game six. We started doing that during the conference finals, and you know, kind of a different vibe. You know, the After Dark thing. We're not really allowed to curse any more than we normally are, but I guess we can slide a few in.
Okay, so cursing is the big appeal.
There might be
here Dominique Foxworth, Pablo, and Izzy possibly curse is a selling point. It's after dark. It's naughty.
I'd say that's definitely the one area where Meadowlark Media has you wildly outpaced because tonight, another NBA live postgame show.
A dirtier one.
The return of Amin El-Hassan. See if he tries to solicit any more guests and perhaps walks himself into yet more trouble. But he is back tonight with Mo Dekhil. Tom Haberstroh and Zach Harper to break the game down. We have competing live streams. Also, let the people know, we're not just doing something after the game. We're doing something during the game.
That's right.
I was told by Tony and Juju that during the third quarter of tonight's game, anyone is invited to pop into our StreamYard.
Really?
Just the third quarter. I'm not sure why that was chosen, but that's our tactical video strategy.
Just the third quarter, me and Juju just chopping it up, having fun.
You and Juju.
He's invited everyone.
That mustache. You're going to unleash that mustache during the third quarter on the American people. Internationally, even.
That's yes. Right. Wherever there are YouTubes, you can potentially watch this. So that is happening tonight. We got our post game tonight, so lots covered on the YouTube channel.
Our fans are not going to be happy that we are not working Monday. We are off on Monday. The game, Game 7, is possibly on Sunday. Will that crew be doing something for us post-game for Monday
off of
the deciding Game 7 championship?
I imagine they could probably, you know, do 2 hours on a Game 7. So, yes, we will have that crew. Should there be a Game 7, they will be on. But, yes, we will be observing the Juneteenth national holiday on Monday, so we will not be coming into the studio.
You guys were talking about YouTube a minute ago. Do you think there was a time where people thought that, like, tubes were the next wave of transportation? Because of the
Elon
way that,
Musk?
Like, no, but like there's mail tubes, and then like you go to the bank, and then there's the tubes that are sending things. Do you think people ever thought, like,
pneumonic,
you know,
tubes? Yes, Billy.
Yeah, you thought people ever were Futurama. Like, this is how we're going to kind of advance things, is with tubes, and then it just didn't really advance. It kind of got like five things, and then that was it. It's like, well, we can't pass humans through tubes, so this is it.
So, Billy, you're imagining a scenario in which, like, on top of I-95, there are pneumonic tubes that fill out the six lanes, and you just get inserted into the pneumonic tubes, and you're just basically on like a water slide to get to work.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just asking if people thought. I would look, guys, I wasn't alive when the whole tube fad caught on, so I'm asking kind of like
you're
the people that were around.
You're talking principally of the bank tube that takes the jar flying away with what your deposit was. You're talking about old school banking, the tube that sucks your money away or your deposit slips.
And now Billy has us being in that tube ending up at work.
I don't know.
Yes,
I
taking don't it have to Orlando.
Does it make the same noise? Yes.
You guys don't understand. Listen, old people, I'm asking you guys in this room. You were around when the tube craze caught on.
Wow, he looked directly
what
at
tube
me.
Crazy.
Wow. I'm asking all of you.
That was like the turn of the century.
If there
Greg
was a
Cody
thought
was
of
only
advancement.
Like 20 years old.
What
yeah.
tube craze are you talking about?
I do think there was like a fast food restaurant or two that had the tube
Thank
things
you.
For serving. Like, that was a bit of a tube craze in the 80s. You know, look it up. I think he's right.
Think Ken Burns is baseball.
Yeah, Billy is right,
tubes.
By the way.
Ken Burns will give you 18 hours on tubes.
Googling
it's not just
fast food thing, restaurant, deliver that, food by tube.
Mm-hmm. The thing that we missed on Ken Burns' degree of difficulty on the way that he's doing his documentaries is he also chooses things that don't have any video accompaniment, like words.
Trust me.
I'm going to do 18 hours on words on Hemingway. Like the stuff that you can't find 18 hours of footage. Do, Jeremy, tell me when you have the sound, because I do want people to hear what it's like to get hit by a 100...
That means hurry up, Jeremy.
100-foot wave. No, I just want to make sure not to forget before the end of the show. I don't want to toss it back into that room, because I don't know what I'm going to get.
Dano.
Like, your dad's on fumes. Your dad's got very little left. I have no explanation for why. While we have two television studios running, he decided to come stroll across the highway, the hallway with no microphone and make his joke shouted from a distance.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I have plenty. I'm not nearly on fumes yet. Mm-hmm. I'm about an eighth of a tank.
The funny
left,
thing is,
so
is
we're good.
The funny thing is my dad legitimately said to me while you guys were talking 5 minutes ago, he's like, this is going really well. Like, my dad thinks that he's crushing it right now.
Well, by the way, speaking of waves, I continue to believe that a wave is not at its most interesting because a human being is surfing on it. A wave is only really, truly interesting when it engulfs a fishing boat, like it did on Jaws. Now, I pray that nobody's hurt by that, but visually, that's when a wave is at its absolute peak of power and interest.
Back to
in
you,
my
Dan.
Opinion.
I can't believe, Greg, those shoes that you're wearing, like that you're making arguments. You're making arguments on behalf of shoes. Greg, those were $9 shoes 25 years ago.
They smell terrible.
Those were never shoes. Those were never any good, those shoes. Not when you bought them new. Those were not good shoes. They are not meant to be worn 25 years without socks, Greg.
These are the Cadillac of deck shoes. These are Sperry's. These are wonderful shoes. As a matter of fact, the resale value on these would be more than $9 right now.
Look it up for me, please.
My dad also now has old people ankles. I can like see like veins everywhere in his ankles.
Oh, varicose veins.
You're
nice.
You're so vain. You probably think this song is about you.
Yes.
Crushing it.
Call the center.
He's pitching a perfect game, man.
Oh, Lord. I never know when this mic is on. Being in a different room is a little bit discombobulating. Just I never know if the mic is on.
Start scatting.
Assume it's never on. Then you're at your most natural.
That's it. That's the only scat I got.
Play the sound of Garrett McNamara explaining what it's like to be caught under a 100-foot wave.
While riding the wave, there's big chops. It's like moguls, like icy moguls, and with an avalanche chasing you. And so when you're coming down the wave, you're hitting chop after chop, and your feet are in the straps, and they're kind of coming out at times. So it's really hard to stay on the board and stay on the wave. And if it's a nice smooth one, it's like cutting butter with a hot knife. But 9 out of 10 in Nazaré are just big icy moguls. And then you kick out. If you make the wave, you kick out. And then you got to hope that your driver's right there. If he's not, then you're going to have to face a bunch of waves in the head.
I understand your confusion, Jeremy, because that is the ice avalanche that the man also surfed, which is a different thing that he did, a less dangerous thing than the thing that I was talking
about.
Well,
he did say Nazaré, which is the city in Portugal. Yeah. So, but the thing that these...
Wait, hang on a second. How can an ice avalanche be less dangerous than the other thing? The phrase ice avalanche is the most terrifying combination of words that I've ever heard.
He was scared
of avalanche.
He was scared. If you watch the...
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Scarier avalanche, ice or poop?
Lava's worse than all of them.
Back to you, Dana.
I saw a 6-part documentary on Netflix the other day about a room that got engulfed with lava. People had to escape. Crazy.
The floor is lava?
It was just one podcast episode.
I play that with my daughter.
Billy, are you serious?
No, he was doing Billy. That just to be an asshole. Like, it was pure asshole.
We were talking about different parts of podcasts.
Are you talking about the floor is lava?
He was hoping. He's hiding more and more behind his mask, and so he's doing things like that. That, yes, that's right.
I'm just trying to move the conversation along,
the
man.
The most impossible person to read in the room, and it's not just because of the mask. I just never know where he's going. Like, I feel like I read people especially well. I have no idea what Billy is like away from the studio. None.
I thought you guys were going boating up the coast.
Yeah, we are.
Why not then, I guess. The time he came over for brunch, he was this Billy. He was just on.
That was fun. It was. Izzy's a great cook. Izzy had like 18 courses that day, though. Yeah. Like, I didn't want to say no to certain things, but I was full after like 2 courses.
Pancakes were fire.
Thank you.
What was that syrup you used? It was like a vanilla
That's
something?
A good question. I was wondering
man,
that, too.
I wish I was there. It was a very unhealthy 50-50 mix of condensed milk and heavy cream.
Oh, my God.
That sounds divine.
More like heaven.
I wish I was there for that.
Roy,
you got invited, Roy.
The entire room was invited. You only get engaged on free food. It's the strangest thing I've ever seen. For how long have we known each other? 17 years? Like, only when the conversation turned to, does somebody have a spare waffle, there's Roy.
A spare
no,
waffle?
No, but it's unbelievable. I don't understand. They were talking about breakfast, and you just started longing dreamily about food that you were not paying for.
A way to a man's heart is through his stomach, Dan. You
Can
know.
I ask a question, Roy, since we've been getting on Tony and the crew, the video crew, for videos that never happened. I seem to remember, this is not you guys, this is before Tony.
Oh, the jump rope video?
Yes.
Whatever
Where
happened
the
to the
video
Roy jump
Roy
roping.
Jumping rope?
Roy jump posted. Roping is epic.
It did?
Yeah, it did. It got posted.
I don't think that never got posted.
I don't think so. I think that would have been classic.
Were you good at jumping rope?
He literally didn't know what to do.
No clue.
No.
Like,
no.
he handed him the jump rope, and he held it as if it was a fork.
Definitely didn't jump both feet at the same time. Was trying to do one foot and then the other. Like, wasn't actually jumping. Like, it was very confusing how confused he was by a jump rope.
I want to address something here that I was alarmed by. I don't know if the rest of you were alarmed by this, but Stu Gatz has had a very bad week. He didn't show up for work. It was a series and an assortment of excuses. Actively made everyone's job harder this week. Came on the air for 10 minutes of total failure where none of his equipment worked. And then took the single worst photograph I've ever seen from a member of this show. He is so clearly fried on psychedelics, mushrooms, and whatever assortment, whatever bounty of drugs has short-circuited his face, that he's got saliva in a dry mouth and his eyes are slits that he cannot keep open because he is on the cusp of overdose.
It looks like an Instagram filter. It looks like his face has, like, all of the muscles in it have stopped working.
So it's funny.
It's just like it's collapsed into a blob of clay. That's what his face looks like. And somehow, this is worse than the last Dead & Company picture that we saw from him last year. The Dead & Company tour, it's unbelievable what it takes out of him. And the idea that he wanted to go to one of these shows where he leaves looking like that on a Monday night.
He didn't want to. His wife surprised him.
And come on the Zoom on a Tuesday morning at 5 a.m. Pacific to join us and do the show with us is absolutely astounding.
Billy, what's happening with, as you try to wrangle Stu Gatz this week on Stupidity, have you been able to wrangle him?
Yeah, we did a Stupidity episode.
What is the truth here today?
Yeah.
Well, it's funny. My favorite version of Stu Gatz was, and this is a lot, like a lot of versions of him, was Pandemic Stu Gatz. It's because, like, he was genuine in his care, right? Like, that's the first time I ever felt like he was telling the truth when he cared about, like, humanity,
oh,
right?
Oh, he's full of shit.
No. Oh, come on. It felt right. It felt genuine.
He's going to Dead concerts, like, every 2 weeks and then judging everybody.
Okay, there's a little window there where it felt like it was genuine. Okay, but this version, the one where he's just gone, like, no rules, hands-free, vacation all the time, Dead & Company that is making this life more difficult for you guys... Whoo, that might be my least favorite of Stu Gatz, especially when he's stuck on the Zoom and he's terrible with time.
Whittingham almost stormed out of the studio in protest yesterday. Whittingham alleges it's as angry as you've ever been with him, or 2 days ago, or whenever it was yesterday. Yeah, the days have run together because he really left everybody in a giant lurch this week by just not telling anybody he was disappearing into a descent through madness and drugs and the dead.
It already makes my blood boil that we are 2+ years into using Zoom, and there are still issues where you can't just select the right f***ing microphone to be your audio source, okay? We are 2 years and 3 months into using Zoom. That is not hard to understand how computers work, that when you plug the microphone in, you have to select it as the source of your audio. To then... after deciding on Sunday afternoon to let me know that you're going to California, and then 2 days later not get your audio source right, when it is the source of the tension that you can't get good sounding audio.
This is a presidential speech?
In a Zoom. And to then, after all of that, after making my life impossibly hard the last 3 days, have the balls to say... You problem. I mean...
That's a you problem.
He's changed you, Chris. Has he not? He's changed you.
That's a you problem. It was just, like, how can you say that with a straight face?
Mike Ryan was like, he's all yours now.
I stand with Stu Gatz.
You're sitting.
But if I were standing, it would be next to Stu Gatz. He's right about Zoom. It's so difficult to get exactly right. Confounding.
It's input source.
No.
Yeti microphone.
No.
Click it. The end.
No, they're not engineers, man. They're the talent. They come
learn
on there. They
talk.
No, they don't
everyone
need
everyone has
you
to
need
be
a technician.
Like, learn.
At your elbow like, nowadays.
You go to the butcher,
right.
You say, learn how to butch? No.
Greg, I'm asking you, as part of your profession, to learn 1% of audio engineering.
You know how you learned how to send an email? Click send? Yeah. That's what we're asking you to do.
It's honestly less complicated. It's less complicated than sending an email.
No, it's multifaceted. I need an IT person at my elbow walking through life nowadays. Everything's difficult. That's why, thank God, I'm married to a saint of a woman who handles all our finances and mail and all the technical aspect of my life. Because it's very difficult.
Because you're a toddler.
Very difficult.
Yeah.
What the hell is that?
I do empathize with older people who now have to navigate like technology and using like everything's gone cashless now, and going to the airport, there's a lot of things you have to do on your phone if you want to go through security efficiently. Yeah. And I do empathize because I think there is a big learning curve there for people that didn't grow up with computers and phones. This is literally Stugatz's job to just know one thing if he's going to go out of town. If he doesn't go out of town, there's no problem. But all he has to do is know how to turn on his microphone. And honestly, the fact that Witty's still this upset after we sweated out in 100-degree weather last night playing soccer tells me that this is going to be a lingering problem
It's startling to me. It is startling to me that toward the tail end of whatever it is that our careers are here, that he would protect neither the vehicle that brings you his voice nor the voice filled with heaters that deteriorates by the weekend because he's consuming the dead. It's just a level of self-destruction of your one thing that you need to protect that has some value. Greg, are we interrupting you?
Dad, he's harassing me. Here, take some grapes.
For those of you not watching, Chris keeps slapping his father in the face with a bunch of grapes.
Eat the grapes.
No. They do remind me of Jackass, the dad in Jackass. Like when Greg when Greg gets legitimately mad at him and starts hitting him, yes, like this right here. When he
I have a bunch of infants on the couch.
No, he is a toddler. He's a look. He's winded.
He's done.
You think Miami's questioning their decision?
The unofficial favorite wine of dads everywhere.
It was a bold decision.
Greg's like a winemaker here.
All right, everybody, Mother's Day is officially around the corner. If mom's gift isn't already on the way, you've got hours, maybe even minutes, to get it together. So head over to 1-800-Flowers.com right this second. 1-800-Flowers still has great last-minute deals on handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts ordered easily and delivered fresh. You want to get mom something that shows your appreciation for all that she's done? We know you've been a knucklehead. She knows you've been a knucklehead. Please do better. Help your mom feel appreciated this Mother's Day. This is your last chance to lock in these Mother's Day deals. Only good while supplies last. Order today at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan, D-A-N. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Hey, listeners, it's Mike Ryan, and I've changed a lot over the course of 20 years that you've known me. I've gone from unlikable to, well, my hair has changed. But my point is, while a lot's changed over our relationship, there's one thing that hasn't changed one bit. And that's a great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So what's the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite has sparked this debate way back in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. They keep it simple. It's got undebatable quality, great taste, 96 calories, you know all those things. It's a beer that strips everything away that you don't need and holds on to what matters most. But with Miller Lite, you don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. It's both those things. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.